Hello everyone, my name is Natalie. I'm 37 years old. I come from Belgium in Europe, and this is the testimony of how Jesus Christ saved me. Where to start? I was born in Belgium, in a small country in Europe. It's situated between France, Holland, and Germany. And yeah, my parents were divorced, so I had kind of a rocky childhood. It wasn't perfect, but of course, now I see how darkness also influenced my family dynamics. So yeah, I see how the devil works in the world now, because I came to Jesus and he just took off any spiritual blinders that I had. So yeah, I grew up in this small country. It's a Catholic country, so we have those traditions that are man-made. Maybe we go to do child baptism, communion, all those things. But my faith was never alive. I actually developed from a very young age already a resistance against the name of Jesus. And I know that I was in catechism, it's called, and that I already was like, oh, this doesn't make sense. I don't know what I'm doing here. So from a very young age, there was already kind of a rebellion towards God. And I grew up living between two homes because my parents were separated. So I lived 2 weeks at my dad's house and then 2 weeks at my mom's house with my siblings. I have one younger sister, one half brother, and now I have a very small half sister. She's 9 years old. So that's kind of the family dynamic. I went to school, Catholic school as well. So we had some subjects about Jesus and God, but the gospel was never really mentioned as it should have been mentioned, in my opinion. There was no talk about repentance, there was no talk about salvation. So it was very much just a traditional thing. We went through the motions. It was more like a family gathering, when we did the communion and the baptism, and that was it. My faith wasn't alive. And after my studies, I went to university. Somebody casted me on the street and asked me, yeah, maybe you should consider modeling. And I thought, yeah, that's maybe a good idea to have it like a student job. It was kind of easy money. So I started doing some modeling and then I was studying at the same time. And after I graduated, I decided that I really liked it and that I wanted to try to do it professionally, like full time. So I became like a freelance model, you call it, like an independent. I got signed to multiple agencies in Europe. So I started to travel a lot, and I have been traveling maybe 15 years now. So I have been a model for 15 years until last year when huge changes happened. Yeah, so I was in that industry. And yeah, at that time, it all looked very glamorous. I was making a lot of money. I was doing mostly commercial things like stuff for hair and shampoos and like clothes and sometimes even TV pubs, like being the mom, like mostly commercial things, but it paid very good money. But the other side of it was that I was away from from my home a lot, because in that period of time, I also met my university sweetheart, my husband. And after 9 years, we got married, but a lot of that time was spent away from each other because I was traveling, I was making money, I was, living the life. Everything was actually very good in worldly standards. So there was nothing really that was lacking. If people looked at my life, they would say probably like, oh, she's very blessed. But in my heart, there was this void. And as time went on and on, I was super happy with my husband in my marriage, but there were also some things that weren't going perfectly, or I was kind of, how do you say, taking over the role of the provider. Also, he also made, of course, a good amount of money because he also has a good job, but because I was away for so long, and sometimes there were big contracts, you could see that I was kind of like not in that biblical structure of the man being under Christ, and then the man providing, and then the women being at home and kind of taking care also of her family. I was just always gone. I missed a lot of family time. I missed a lot of just celebrations that and because I was so focused on my career and so focused on my money, on the money actually. So in that period of time, I totally was wrapped up in that job. I sacrificed a lot for it. Like, if they would call me 2 hours beforehand, you have to be at the airport because you have a job and you have to leave, then I would drop everything and just go, no matter what was happening. So I see now that I was kind of a slave of the system, and of money actually as well. So and then when I turned 35, I think, there was someone on Instagram posting about Jesus and posting about God. And I remember having that resistance all over again. So I was like, oh, what is she saying? Oh, yeah, I left out maybe a big part is that also, whilst modeling, I got into a lot of new age practices like the law of attraction. Of course, because I was so focused on money, I wanted more. So I wanted to attract and manifest my entire life, which is crazy. So and I also did some crazy rituals like sweat lodges, and it even went so far that I wanted to fill that void, that spiritual void, with experiences. So I tried this ayahuasca ceremony, which in its entirety was not scary. It was kind of like false light, you know. I saw pretty things. I saw Mother Nature and whatever they wanted me to believe, because now I realize, of course, that the devil is like false light, and that he will show you everything that you want to see just to keep you in the darkness. So I even did ayahuasca, and at that time I didn't even realize the dangers of it, the world that you're kind of going into, and the doors that you open also if you go into that. I was also using crystals for healing. I thought maybe very naively that I wasn't very much involved in the new age, but God showed me after my salvation, that it was pretty deep. So it goes hand in hand with that modeling and looking for something to fill that void, because modeling never did that, and it kind of took a lot away from me looking in hindsight. So then I was on Instagram. I was browsing through this profile of a woman that was posting about Jesus and having a personal relationship with Jesus. And somehow, I don't know what happened. I think the Holy Spirit struck me, and I was just so intrigued But also rebelling and not accepting the truth. And then I was intrigued again. And then it was this cycle of like rejection, but interest, rejection, interest. And afterwards, I just thought I'm gonna have to investigate this because if this is the truth, then yeah, I owe it to myself to see if Jesus is really what she says that Jesus is, and can I have that personal relationship? And is it true that our God is a loving father? I just didn't see him like that. I saw God as this authoritative figure that just condemned people. And now having been saved, I understand why these rules do exist. It's to protect us from the evil one, and it's because he loves us so much. Yeah. So afterwards, I started investigating, and then I started to realize that the Bible was not as I envisioned it to be. I started to read the Gospels, and I was like, wow, Jesus sacrificed his life and he conquered death for me, for a sinner. So I started to see that I was a sinner and that whatever I did, I just had to accept Jesus's gift of grace and mercy. And yeah, it really struck me, and my love for him started to grow. And I think after 2 or 3 months already, I knew that I was gonna give my life to Jesus. And I decided to get baptized. And for me, my baptism was a very spiritual thing because naively, of course, I didn't think I could have any demons of any sorts. God really took that pride away from me. And when I got baptized already, I got some deliverance in the baptism pool because I chose Jesus. And that was the start of a journey of sanctification, a journey of deliverance, a journey of discovering myself in Christ, so my new identity in Christ, and also renewing my mind because there were a lot of old structures still in my mind that needed to be renewed by the truth of Christ. And I don't know, yeah, how deliverance started, but for me, it wasn't a thing that I saw on the internet, or it was something that Jesus revealed to me himself. After baptism, of course, I was pretty shocked that I already had deliverance in the baptism pool. And this reality of the spiritual world and this reality of evil being able to influence us also in that way. So I asked the Holy Spirit, I prayed, Lord God, please cleanse me, make me new. And course, if you ask God to cleanse you and you do that with the right heart intention, He's faithful. He's faithful to do that. So during the night, I had some, yeah, I was seeing kind of demons before my eyes a lot. I had a lot of spiritual warfare after my baptism. And I started to be delivered by the Lord, by Jesus during the night. And my husband was sleeping next to me, and of course I woke up just, yeah, if you get delivered, you can have manifestations actually. And I was just making the strangest noises, the strangest manifestations, yeah, just like forces pulling me against the wall. It was a battle. I knew there was a battle for those spirits to stay and to have those agreements still in place, but Jesus broke them, started to break them together with me, like a loyal friend. He started to deliver me for many, many nights after that. I woke up sweating, fighting the demons that I saw, but they had to leave because his name is above all names. And he has the authority. He is God, so they had to obey. So yeah, that was my natural how do you say, my natural progress. I had self-deliverance first, but because of the severity of my involvement with the occult, God somehow led me also to a deliverance ministry. And I know that this is a thing that nowadays is very much like the talk underneath Christians, between Christians, is deliverance ministry biblical? I do have to say that the Holy Spirit really led me to this ministry. And I also want to say that examine their fruits. If you are interested in deliverance, first of all, you can ask the Holy Spirit to deliver you. You don't per se need another person to do it for you. You have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. But sometimes the prayer is just more powerful when your brothers and sisters pray for you, because where two or more are gathered, there I am in your midst, says the Lord. So he led me to this ministry, and I just examined their fruits, and they were so sweet. Also, they were such sweet Christians, because they spent like 3 hours just counseling me, and they never wanted a penny for it. So if you have to pay for deliverance ministry, that's not a good sign. Never, ever pay for deliverance ministry. It's a gift from God. And just examine what the fruits of the ministers are. How are they living for Jesus? Are they fully submitted? Have they given their lives to the Lord? Just examine who you are dealing with. But I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit will lead you to the right person. And I ended up with this deliverance ministry for further deliverance. And they really went through this entire repentance process. So everything that I have done in my previous life, I needed to fully repent for. So they went through the whole list. I repented. I renounced. All those agreements were broken. And there was just such a process of powerful deliverance that happened afterwards. And I started having dreams as well about praying for other people. And this I also wanted to mention, deliverance is not only about the focus on demons, it's about discipleship, it's about teaching the people that they also have to be in the Word of God. It's about forgiving people. It's about repentance. So important to break those agreements. Life is spiritual, so we just have to be very aware that we do it in the right way. And the Lord has really led me to also start praying for other people. So after 3 months of my conversion, I started also praying in the deliverance ministry for other people, very carefully, of course, because I was still such a baby in Christ. But the Lord has really led me to pray for other people as well. And it has been a privilege to see so many people set free from their shackles, from generational curses, from anything that is holding them back to become holy and sanctified. So it was really a blessing. It was tough. The Lord really took me on a roller coaster, but I also feel like my deliverance process was chopped up into little pieces, because I needed to learn whilst I was doing it. And it has been such a blessing, really. And what happened afterwards? How has my life changed since meeting Jesus and giving my life to him? It has changed in such a tremendous way, and in a way that was not really my plan. I saw my future envisioned as Mia and my husband, traveling the world, living it up, living my best life. You probably recognize all these one-liners, but that was the life that I had in my mind. We didn't want to have children, or I must say, maybe I was under the influence of the dark one to choose not to have children. So we waited for a very long time to even make a decision about children. But in our selfish view, it was more like, oh, do we have to sacrifice so much for a child? It's going to take away so much of our time that we cannot spend on ourselves. So I was also very self-focused. And after my deliverance, everything started to change. My priorities started to change. I started to see that this modeling word was not kind of, holy. It's not, it has to do with a lot of vanity. It has to do with a lot of focus of money as well. So, the Lord really convicted me to say goodbye to my job and that identity that was paired with it, a false identity, if I might say now, because now my identity is in Jesus, it's in Christ. So I started to work with the Lord, and He started to show me, when I was doing a certain job, what was wrong about it, what was not holy about it. And he started to convict me to kind of make big changes. So now I really want to do good things for other people, and that job was just serving myself. So I said goodbye to it. And what was amazing is that God also blessed my marriage in a tremendous way, that he also touched my husband, and that after a few months, my husband also believed in Jesus and converted. So we are now both with Jesus, and it's such a blessing to share that together. And we decided afterwards, when we were both with Jesus, like, okay, we shouldn't let that decision of having a child be ours. It should be the decision of the Lord. So we gave it to the Lord, and after 5 months, he blessed us with a pregnancy. And I'm now pregnant of a beautiful little girl, almost 6 months, and everything is going super, super well. She's gonna be born around April, and I'm already looking forward to seeing her little face and the joy that she will bring to our lives. And I cannot even imagine that the devil tried to take that away from us, tried to take that away, the blessing of having children. And I'm so grateful to the Lord to sanctify our lives also, and to take the focus off money and career. And I can just stay at home now for a while and take care of my baby. And what a it's just su such a blessing. I also started to work for the kingdom by doing the prayers, the deliverance prayers, but also by doing volunteering. And my life is so much richer because of it, because I can serve other people and love other people without also expecting something in return, because I do it for Jesus. I do my works not because I think I'm going to be saved by doing works, because my salvation is by the grace and the mercy of God. It's a gift. But it's because I love Jesus that I try to do those works. And I just try to love my God, Jesus, as much as I can, and to love my neighbor the best as I can. And sometimes I still stumble, of course, because this is a road. It's a road of sanctification. And Jesus also doesn't promise you that you will be free of trials. He really doesn't. But what is so beautiful is that you have someone who is always there for you, and who will hold your hand through the storms and teach you things and refine you and make you, just a better person in total. So yeah, that was kind of in short my testimony. I do want to pray that if you are still in doubt about Jesus, if you are still in doubt about giving your life to Jesus, that just start investigating, start to read the Bible, and start to see what he was about and how he lived a sinless life, and how also all the events in the world can be explained by reading the Bible. We've been through a tough period also with COVID now the last few years, and I think a lot of people are kind of waking up that yes, sometimes the governments don't have our best interests at our at a in their vision. And if you start to read the Bible, you will see how it all works, how the enemy and the evil one is trying to take our souls into hell, because he hates us so much. But we have our savior. We have Jesus to save us from that destiny. We don't have to go to hell. Jesus is waiting with open arms to take you into those arms and give you the gift of grace and mercy and salvation. So yeah, just start to explore who Jesus really is, and it will just amaze you. So if there's anything that I would like to pray over anyone that is watching this video, yeah, Heavenly Father, I would just like to pray that anyone that is watching this video may get to know you, Lord, may get to know your grace and your mercy and your love, and that they would say goodbye to any worldly desires, any worldly wants, because in the end, Lord, it's not what matters. It's our eternal life that matters. And also, our life on earth is so much better when we walk together with you, Lord. So I just pray that everybody who watches this video, that they would start to investigate who you really are, and that they would give their life to Jesus. So if anyone is inclined to do so, then you can just, yeah, repeat these words after me. Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I believe that you are my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you died for me, and that you rose on the third day, and that you conquered death, and that you conquered Satan. And I would like to give my life to you today. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah, I just pray blessings over everyone. I pray that this testimonial may bless you. And I would also like to pray for Angela and her husband and her little baby, Salah. I would like to pray blessings over them as they are doing such great works for the kingdom of God and exposing all the darkness that is in the world. Yeah, I just wish you all a very nice day. And I hope that yeah, that this video blessed you. Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for taking the time to watch this Testimony Tuesday video. I really pray that you were blessed by it. Give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the Heaven and Healing Podcast channel if you haven't already. We go live on this channel every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. So set your notification bell and come back and see us really soon. And do consider partnering with the Heaven and Healing Ministry. There's a QR code up on the screen for you to become a monthly partner. Or if you just feel led to sow a one-time seed, there are different options to do so down below in the episode description. Heaven and Healing is entirely crowdfunded, only made possible through the generosity of the audience. So anything at all means so much to us. We thank you for your support and prayers. God bless. Jesus loves you.